streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him look up on his face and there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
As I journey through this land,
oh,
singing as I go.
Yes, Lord, we are
pointing souls to Calvary.
Thank you, Lord.
To its crimson flow. Pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on through him I must
win. Oh, I want to see him look up on his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory. Praise the Lord. We're just getting warmed up for thousands and thousands and thousands of years of singing. We're just getting warmed up over here, aren't we? Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Oh, isn't God good to us? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Isn't it great to be the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. If you will, just stand with me for a few minutes. We've got just a very few prayer requests to let you know about tonight. I want to remember a granddaughter of a friend of mine. She's 21 years old, has a tumor on her ovary. Sister Shirley Lunsford sends that in, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Also, Brother Gene Lehman will be seeing a heart doctor tomorrow. He's asking that we would remember him in prayer. Sister Lona says to please remember Sister Overstreet from Niffley, Kentucky. She attends Brother Bill Warren's assembly. I want to remember her in prayer. She's having surgery tomorrow for a large tumor on her brain. Also, our oldest daughter, Kelly, she is in constant pain because of a fracture of her spine. She has to walk with a cane now and is on large doses of medication that does not help. So we certainly want to remember those prayer requests tonight. I want to pray for Brother Ron Daly, sick, unable to be in the service tonight. Sister Christine Baker is having ultrasounds done tomorrow on her leg. She's in a lot of pain, asking that we would pray for her. I have an urgent and unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. Brother Danny Torres is a lady from my job. Would like for us to pray for her mother. Her mother's name is Betty Jane Garber. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe God's bigger than all your problems. You believe God's that can answer your prayer tonight. Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Yes, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity we have to come in your house again, Lord. Knowing that one day, God, we won't have this privilege no more. But God, may we take full advantage of it. Lord, I pray that you just feel welcome in the service and walk these aisles. And you see every need, every hand that was raised, Father. I pray, God, may you move for each one of them. Lord, at these requests, I hold my hand, God. Serious needs, Father, but no need is too great for you. Lord, you died on the cross for our healing, Father, and for our salvation, Father. I pray, may you just move for each one of them. Father, I pray for Brother West, Lord, that you just anoint him, Father, when he comes out here, Lord, and may he step aside, Father. Anoint us to receive, Lord. We be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here, all those that are streaming this service tonight. We pray it'll just be a great blessing to those folks as well. Did you enjoy the services here over the weekend? Wasn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? We're here tonight. God's just as real tonight as he ever has been. Somebody say, I believe he's going to give us a great time here tonight. If you believe that, give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. He's in the house. Then let's sing this song tonight. A little girl was lying there, the people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, some began to.
This heart of mine, he gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Used to be. heart of mine.
Yes,
he gave me life again.
I
am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Than I was found till he got a hold of my life. He found me. Aren't you glad you've been found? Look at somebody and say, I've been found.
I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. He said, come. Sins repenting, and child, I will lead you out where you can see.
With all your heart, church. Oh, and I'm so glad he found me.
With love he bound me.
He
put his arms around
me,
and he led.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We're going to have some songs tonight. Brother Wes, as Brother Brad mentioned in his prayer, is going to be speaking for us tonight. And I'm certainly looking forward to hearing Brother Wes Willis tonight. I just want to say this about Brother Wes and his family. I'll give them a rose while they're alive to smell it. But that little family is a great asset to this assembly. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. They really are. They're just, they mean a lot to us. And I know you're looking forward to hearing Brother Wes tonight. And I'm sure you could, if you'd listen real close, you could hear his knees hitting together back there. But he's going to be fine. Brother Wes is going to do fine. And we know that tonight, just depending on the Lord. Brother Lance was back there, and we were just trying to encourage Brother Wes a little bit. And we all need encouragement. I said it don't really matter who the speaker is or how many songs is sung. If he don't come down, it really don't matter no how. And you know, on the other side of that coin, Brother David, if he comes down, it really don't matter neither who's singing or who's preaching. If he's here, it's all that matters, right? How many of you believe he's going to be in the house with us tonight? Amen. Well, Brother David, come and give us a special tonight. This guy don't get to be here often, but when he is, we just like to wear him nearly out. And we appreciate this guy right here and his family, don't we? Love you, David.
I don't sing much. I don't think I've sung since I've been here last. Let's sing that song. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand. I'm a telling you. Yeah, let's go G. Let's go G. You remember that? I'm telling you, he can.
Well, I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand right by my side. The doctor says he's gone. Who can give a barren woman a child and prove all those doctors wrong? And who can bring Lazarus back from the dead and give him the power to speak? He's put a sword in your hand, revealed his mighty plan. He's give you everything that you need.
Glory!
And I'm telling you, say goodbye. Oh, to lift up both of his dying hands with the teardrops in his eyes. With those loved ones gathered all around, he just smiled and said, don't you fear. Because the God that's brought us, yes, this far, gonna lead us on out of here.
Glory!
And I'm telling you, he can. And I know.
eat. Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 holy. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yeah, we want to see you. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yeah, we want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 you are high and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
serve you with my life. Perfect love, perfect peace, amazing grace has rescued me. Let them see your charity.
Specials tonight. Everybody did a wonderful job. Thank you so much. Let's stand tonight, if you will, just before Brother Wes comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Let's take just a couple of minutes and let's really concentrate on what we're going to sing here tonight at this present time. Here we are in your presence. This is a presence that you can't feel on your job at Walmart, Kmart, wherever you're at out in the world. You can't feel the presence of the Lord, the way we can feel Him here as a collective body of Christ. It means a lot to be able to feel His presence, don't it? To feel His blessings and to know that He loves us, it's worth everything in this world. And to know this, Brother Terry, that we are still in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means everything in the world. Just as Brother West comes tonight, I wonder, could we just lift our hands as we sing tonight? Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to more time. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are.
We're praising Jesus.
It is so good to be here.
Amen.
It is such a wonderful thing to stand before the body of Christ. And not only it be brothers and sisters of like faith and character, but you're my friends. You're my family. You're the people that I love more than anybody else in the world. And most of all, who I know love me. You've prayed for me over the years. You've supported me. I watched some of you grow up, and it's just such a wonderful thing when the body of Christ comes together.
Amen.
So if you will, let's go ahead and get started before I get too mushy, okay? Because I love y'all so much. I love y'all so much. We'll turn to the book of John, chapter 1. This is the first time I've ever preached in this type of venue. The last time I preached in a sizable church, it was a Baptist church. And the last sermon I preached to them was sort of a combination of serpent seed, Jezebel religion, and water baptism, all rolled into one. And you could hear a pin drop in the entire service. Shortly after that, I was very nicely and politely booted to the street, and long story short, I ended up here by the calling of the Lord, and I can't think of, it was a hard time, but it was one of the most blessed times of my life, and compared to this day and age, it was a piece of cake. So, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me.
Amen.
Let's bow before the Lord. Merciful Father, I love you with all my heart. My greatest wish tonight is to become invisible. And for this not to have anything to do with the fact that it's my first sermon here among my brothers and sisters. But that you be glorified, that you be lifted up. You know, Lord, my heart, and you know I stand before you with one desire, and that is to proclaim your name and to praise and exalt you above anything and everything that there is. Lord Jesus, I ask you if there's any among us, Lord, who needs to have the stony shell broken from around their heart and needs to have your word buried deep inside, Lord. I ask you to make that possible tonight through the preaching of the word. Lord, I ask you that if there's anybody here within the sound of my voice or anywhere around the world that might hear this, Lord, that doesn't know you, that doesn't truly know you, Lord, I just ask that you reveal yourself to them tonight. Lord, I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This verse, these verses that I spoke of, they're John's beginning and opening description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was trying to get people to see just exactly who Jesus was. And he was trying to get people to understand what his position was and to reveal him to the world, to deliver the Great Commission, so to speak. This verse ties in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. This ties right in with Genesis. You can go back to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning God, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Isaiah spoke of this same Savior. Prophetically, the words came to him from God, proclaiming our Lord. And what to expect, he described him to a T. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report?
Amen.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Yes.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Amen.
This is so sad. This to me is heart-wrenching sad. Because there is the very God who spoke and created the entire universe. The very God who spoke the words that created the ground that we stand on tonight came among us as one of us to show us his love and was rejected and was treated poorly and treated badly. You know, it says in verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If we jump over to John 5:38, Jesus is having a little talk with some Pharisees, and he goes into it and he says, you see, Jesus addressing the Pharisees, he says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, ye believe not. There's Isaiah 53 fulfilled.
Amen.
He's talking to them right there. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It wasn't revealed to the Pharisees. There was no word in them. There was no seed in them that could receive that word. And when he came and when he showed up on the scene, they didn't recognize him.
Amen.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was a carpenter's son. He was speaking to these educated men, these so-called leaders of the community. He was speaking to the Pharisees. They looked at him and they were puzzled and they were wondering, how is it that we can't pin him down with the word? He's a carpenter. You know? They didn't even believe that he was of pure birth. They thought he was born in fornication. They accused him of it because they didn't know him and they couldn't recognize him. They couldn't receive him. His word wasn't in him, so they couldn't receive his word. It was a very sad, very sad, very pathetic kind of thing because we see the same thing today. It says in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, Thomas fulfills this scripture. Imagine him waiting in fear, all the disciples waiting in fear. Just imagine him in that room and Thomas is standing there and he goes, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I put my fingers in his hands. You can tell me whatever you want, but until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. I want to stick my hand in his side. I saw what happened to him. I know. I mean, let's get real. At that point in time, Thomas was seeing the carpenter. Thomas was looking square at the carpenter. And he was missing God. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have faith. He had lost his faith because of fear. Jesus said he's not coming back for the fearful. Thomas was in a very, very bad place at this time. Now, imagine how Thomas felt when the Lord appeared. He said, hey, Thomas, how you doing? Thomas's heart sank. He said, here, you just said it. Stick your finger in there. Here's my side. Put your hand in my side. Come on. And there were the others. There was Peter there who had denied him. He's despised and rejected of men. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at some point after everything was over and the dust had settled and Peter was well into his ministry, one day he was reading Isaiah. He is despised and rejected of men. And he had to say, that was me. That was me. I was the one who rejected him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did, as it were, our faith, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Weren't you with that man that they crucified? Aren't you the one? Peter's like, no way, not me. No Holy Ghost. There was nothing there. There was no boldness there. There was no faith there. There was just fear. Peter was standing there in fear. It was a tight time. It was a hard time. It was a cruel, merciless time where they took men and nailed them to crosses and hung them in the air for all to see. It was a time when you did not know what was going to happen next, who was going to be knocking on the door. You didn't know who was going to be coming for you because of what you believed. It was a time very similar to what we're coming into now. And fear was ruling the day. And these men were terrified. And they didn't know what was going to happen next. They were debating in their own minds. They were saying, was it figurative? Was it just figurative? I saw him dead. We wrapped his body. He's gone. Was it just figurative? Was he speaking spiritually? Was he being literal? What did he mean? Am I going to have to die for this? Not even knowing what's going to happen after I close my eyes in death? Is he going to come back like he said? Or did he just mean that he was, you know, I mean, you know, all kinds of religious ideas were running around, I'm sure. Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They weren't anchored in the Holy Ghost. It was a very hard, very dark time. Very hard time. Now, there was a time where the disciples, for the apostles, there was a time where they ministered. There was a time where they went and preached and cast out devils. There was a time where they healed people who were sick while Jesus was there. Let me turn over here to Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Imagine that. Imagine that. Here's Jesus. He's right here. Now, this is part of what we're studying in the Bible study with the young people right now. So I want you to know, some of you all, you're going to hear some of the things that you heard last week, but just hang in there with me. Here's Jesus. He's on the scene. He's in the flesh.
Yeah, right.
He's telling the disciples, you two go here, you two go there, you do this, you say that. He's giving them their orders.
Amen.
And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. These are the same men who are cowering in fear, wondering what's coming next, not believing the report of the resurrection. These are the same men. Without the Holy Ghost, they can't grasp it. They can't understand it. They are filled with doubt. They're saying, you expect me to believe you? I've not seen it. I've not seen him. You know? And then somebody says, well, when he sent us out, though, we prayed for people and they were healed. We cast out devils. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do?
Amen.
In John 14:15 through 18, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is after he had settled their nerves. This was before Pentecost. He had showed up. He'd made them ashamed. He'd made them sorrow. You can imagine how pitiful Thomas felt. I mean, put yourself in his place. I mean, how much more ashamed could you be? How about Peter? How much more ashamed? You told me that I was going to deny you, and I swore that I wouldn't, and I did anyway. How can you possibly accept me? How can you possibly take me and use me now? Jesus said, don't worry. I've got this. It's not. If it was up to you, we see what would happen. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. These are men without the Holy Ghost hearing this. What on earth is he talking about? He's talking about God. He said he would send us a comforter. And then he said he's going to be in us. So the Godhead's revealed right here. And we look at it and we say, okay, without the Holy Ghost, we're looking at this and we're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? How is he going to be in me? I don't get this at all. I really don't get this. Before, he would say, He said, Peter, you go over here. You take Matthew with you. You're going to go to this town. Now, I'm telling you not to take more than one coat. I'm telling you not to take any food or anything, because I'm wanting to show you that if you'll just do what I tell you, I'll take care of you when you get there. So I'm trying to teach you something right now before I go, so that when I come back in you, you'll understand what to do. So you go on to that town. When they got there, what happened? They were taken care of. Somebody gave them a place to lay their head. Somebody gave them food to eat. The people they preached to were healed. Faith was growing. The word was spreading. There was a man on the scene who had power. And he not only had power, but he could broadcast it. He could send it out. He could take fishermen and tax collectors and doctors, and he could send them out and use them as antennas for the power of God. And under an anointing, they could heal and they could cast out devils. It was an exciting time. It was a wonderful time. But still yet, he says, I'm going to leave. But you just resurrected, and now you're talking about leaving. What do you mean you're going to leave? Well, don't worry. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be in you.
Amen.
They're scratching their head, and they're wondering, what in the world are you talking about? What do you mean you're going to be in us? Well, you'll see. You'll see. You just go and wait. You just go and wait on me.
That's it.
Now, let's back up just a little bit for a minute. Let's go to Luke 3:21-22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. We go on down to Luke 4:1-2. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now this says that Jesus was tempted for 40 days of the devil. How many of you all would like to be locked up in the wilderness alone with the devil for 40 days? They thought when Muhammad Ali went to Africa, it was a big fight. That was nothing. Can you imagine 40 days? Can you imagine how the devil felt after Jesus wore his hide out for 40 days? That's our King. That's our King. That's our Lord. That's our Sovereign. Wore him out for 40 days. Busted his hide. So the devil had to admit there's something different about this man. I even got Moses to kill somebody without even trying. I didn't even have to try. There's something different about this cat right here. And he's starting to think maybe he's the one that Isaiah was talking about. Maybe he's the Messiah. I better give him a real test now. I better give him the real test. He takes him and gives him the three temptations that we're all familiar with. You know, the stone to bread. Offers him the kingdoms of the world, offers to tries to tempt him into jumping off the temple and all this. So, you know, we look at those things and we wonder, what's the devil thinking? Finally, after all this resistance, the devil leaves him. So here's this man. He comes to John the Baptist. This is the time we're in. Let me read you this quote from Brother Branham. It's being led by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, I mean. 1955. Men of God are led by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. How many believes in being led by the Spirit of God? Amen? Amen. Then you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do. Remember, he tells us, don't say you're going to this city or that city or whatever. You know, you don't know what you're going to do if you're being led of the Spirit.
Amen.
You have no idea. You just have to follow the Spirit. Now, in our text, Israel was under the Roman Empire. They had been captured by the Romans. Their churches had let down, got cold, formal, got away from God. And another nation came in and captured them because they got away from God. And they were under the rulership of the Romans. They got to a place where they began to go after science and after education. That always kills spirituality. Yeah. We need to be spiritual. Let science take care of their part. But we Christians keep ourselves spiritual before God. But now Israel had got away, got all educated, dressed up their priests so much different from the other people. And the Romans took them. And they're under their rulership. Furthest thing in their minds is the appearing of the Messiah. Though they had looked for him for 4,000 years, but they thought it was too far away. Listen, friend. Just when you least expect it, then God steps in and he does something. Now there was a prophet on the scene in these days. We spoke of him there in John 1. John the Baptist. Now he was a man who was spoken to directly by God, a prophet. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from birth, the scripture says. That was before the upper room. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. This man, being ordered and led by the Spirit, went outside the borders of the Roman Empire. On the east bank of Jordan, just out of their political reach. The political powers had no control over what this man said. They didn't really care. He wasn't within their borders anyway. The religious leaders of the day, they ignored him for a while. They went about having their services. Everything was going fine. And all of a sudden they looked out and said, there's not as many seats being filled. What's going on? What's happening? Well, there's this preacher, this crazy man out in the wilderness. He eats locusts and honey and, you know, he's girded about with a camel skin. He's a nut. And he's out there baptizing people. And, you know, I mean, we know that just the priests wash up. We're the only ones that can talk to God. We cornered the market. You know? They weren't moving with the dispensation of the day. They didn't understand. They were caught up in the politics. So John the Baptist was outside of the politics of the day. He was outside of the religion of the day. He was out there listening to God. Sort of like we are today. This was a very, very interesting time to live. The spirit of Elijah had come on the scene and was introducing the Messiah. And here's John, and he's preaching every day, and he's thinking, I can hear him praying now, Lord, I'm about to baptize some more believers. They want to be closer to you. They want to know you more. They want to know that you're real. Lord God, they're here today to be cleansed of their sins. They know that they see the falsehood of the religion of the day. They see the falsehood of the organized system and the political religious system. They see all this, Lord, and they know it's not true. They know you're not in that. They know that these men are not sincere, that they're going along with the tax collectors, forcing the people to pay money. They're taking the tax collectors to the doors of their own people, saying, here's one of the ones who needs to pay tax, and then they collect part of it with the Romans. They know that it's all about money. They know it's all about politics and that it's all fake. They know that there's nothing real about it. Some of them, Lord, are looking, and they're saying, how can that man, who I know is an adulterer and a philanderer, and he does all these evil things. He goes and he goes down to the temple, and he's rich, so he buys a big sacrifice, and the priest takes it in there, and he goes right back to doing what he was doing. How can that be real? How can that be God? How can that possibly be real? These believers are here today to get baptized, Lord. And I'm going to baptize them into repentance. But Lord, I need a name. I need the name. Yeah, I long for the day I can baptize them in the name. Lord, give me that name. I can see John longing. I can see his heart just thumping in his chest, just calling out for the name of the Messiah, for the name of Jesus appears on the shore. He says, there he is. There he is. He even sends some of his disciples with Jesus after he baptizes him. He's even a witness. John said right here in the book of John, he said he was a witness to it. He saw this happen. He saw the dove come down. He heard the voice himself with his own ears. Shortly after he was arrested, though. Did he have the seal? He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but did he have the seal? Because he said, hey guys, you that stuck with me, go make sure, go ask him.
Yeah.
I'm getting nervous. When your expectations are different than the outcome, it messes with your brains. It gets into the battleground of the mind. And you're saying, well, Lord, I thought that this is how it was going to be. You know, when you gave me that vision, I saw the baptism of fire. I said there's one coming after me that's not going to baptize you all into repentance, but he's going to baptize you with fire. And I saw that part, but what else? What else is there? Jesus said, go back and tell him to remember the rest of the vision. Go back and tell him to remember the rest. And John was satisfied then. Because John was a man who made mistakes. The man of like passions, just like us. And he had his moment of doubt, just like any man, anytime, anywhere, has had their moment of doubt. So these 12, being in this condition, being ordered about by Jesus, told where to go and what to preach, being told what to do, are being obedient, and they're seeing results. And now, Jesus is resurrected. He's come back, and he's teaching them, and he's telling them more. And he's telling them, I'm going to come, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. And they're waiting, and they're in the upper room, and they're waiting.
Amen.
One would start to get a little weak.
Preach it, brother.
He'd say, there's 3,000 people outside. Why don't we go outside? Well, I don't know. Maybe we better not. You know, there's 3,000 people out there in the street. You know, we could go out there and preach to them. No, he said to wait on him. He said to wait on him. Thank God he said to wait on him because I'm terrified. I don't want to go out there and preach. He said, he told us to wait. We're going to wait. That's the black and white of it. He said, you go wait on me. And
amen.
He said he'd come be in us. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means, but we're going to sit right here till we find out. So they're sitting there, and then they hear the wind.
Glory.
The mighty rushing wind starts coming in.
Amen.
The tongues of fire appear.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the promise is fulfilled.
Yes.
Peter is out there preaching. Everybody's hearing everything in their own tongue. The supernatural has hit the earth again. There's thousands of people listening as Peter pours out his heart. And Peter's standing there and he knows something has changed because he knows those words are coming out of my mouth and it's not me speaking them. He knows that. He knows it. He sees it happening. He knows what's going on. He knows that something has occurred. Something has changed. All of these men went out and preached the gospel. All 12. Well, let me take that back. 11 were martyred. And they tried to kill John. Thomas, who said, I refuse to believe until I see the holes in his hands. Until I stick my hand in his side. I refuse to believe. You all are being foolish. And you're a fool if you think I'm going to believe it without seeing it. That man preaching the gospel refused to deny Christ. That same coward who was hiding in a room, scared to death that they were going to kill him for a cause he didn't even believe in anymore, died for the cause of Christ. He was stabbed with spears made of pine. He was burned with hot plates and tortured. He refused to give in, and they burned him to death. The same man. The same man. Okay? Give me 12 atheists. Give me 12 atheists anytime you want. Give me 12 scoffers. Give me 12 doubters anytime you want. You give me those 12 doubters and scoffers and atheists. And you let them go through that, and let's see how many of them hand over their atheism right away. Nothing to believe in is nothing to believe in, folks. Here is the power of God manifested.
Amen.
Peter, crucified upside down.
Sure.
He was afraid of a little girl.
Right.
He wouldn't tell a little girl that he was with Jesus.
Right.
He denied Christ three times to a little girl. Right. And this is the man who said, go ahead and kill me, boys. I don't care. Just, I want you to know right now, I'm not worthy to die the way my Lord did.
Yeah.
Amen.
These men gave their lives for something that was real.
Yes, sir.
Peter knew that there was a difference. He knew that he was not the same man after he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He knew that his desires changed. He knew that his stand changed. He knew the place where he stood changed. He knew that what he believed was real. There was no doubt left in him. If you doubt that you need an experience, you're wrong. You need an experience. Peter needed an experience. Thomas needed an experience. What do you think makes them go from being cowards to roaring lions overnight? You got to have the Holy Ghost. It's got to happen. Brother Bram said, if you want to know if you've got it, check your desires. He said, if you want to know, check your desires. But what about the ones who've had it for a few years but have cooled off? Let's go back to something Brother Branham said here in Hua in 1961. Now, let me get a drink real quick, folks. Sorry. Now, to you people that wanted to renew the joy of your salvation, and to you that somewhere you've lost that joy, think back what you did. Did you neglect prayer meeting? Neglect reading the Bible? Neglect praying at your home, asking a blessing at the table? Don't never do that. Oh my. That's so unbecoming to Christians. No matter where you are, bow your head and pray. Don't be ashamed of him. Pray anywhere, see? And if ever where you left that joy, that whatever weeded it out, what little root of bitterness come in, remember, when a man is saved this much, like this little button here, he becomes eternal life in your heart. That's God. As you're able to push out all the roots of bitterness, then God begins to speak, to spread in you. Then you become a son of God. A man was made to be God, to be a God. Do you know that? He's in the image of God. He's a son of God. He's like him. He was given a domain, Genesis 1:26. Domain over the whole earth. That's right. He ruled the earth. He ruled the animal kingdom and all the other kingdoms, all but the kingdom of God above. He was God. He was an amateur God. He was made in the image of God, made like God,
Amen.
Had hands and feet like God. He was in the image of God. What happened? Because he disbelieved God's word, it sent him right back out to shift for himself. Now God's trying to bring him back. And when you have faith and accept him, my brother, just let that little light begin to grow out. Taking all the roots of doubt and bitterness, yielding yourself to the Spirit. Then you begin to become a son of God, a daughter of God. Begin to grow in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit begins to build his kingdom within you. Now, if you've grieved that Spirit somewhere, then go right back and think in your mind, what did I start doing? Neglecting church? Did I start fussing with another denomination? Did I start picking on this one, doing this to my neighbor? If you did, that's what happened. That's what sapped it out. Go say, God, I'm sorry. I will go right back and make that thing right. I will go right and do it. Then the joy will come back to your salvation again. The Holy Spirit just flew right up on the rafter. He's ready to fly right back down again anytime You want him to come back. He does the leading. The dove leads the dam. I mean the lamb. The dove leads the lamb. We know that.
Amen.
Without the leading of the Spirit, what have you got? Without the leading of the Spirit, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. You've got nothing but vain religion. You've got nothing but vain religion. With the Spirit, you had people that would go to the stake. You had people that would die, that would gladly give their lives. You had women that would tell their children as they were being executed, don't you cry, don't you shed a tear for them. I'm dying for my Lord. You should rejoice. They would tell their children that. They'd tell their, as their children were being questioned and tortured, they'd tell them not to cry, not to give them the satisfaction. You had saints that had the Holy Ghost and had power from God to be martyrs for the cause of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And people would look at it and say, that is so pathetic that they would die for that. That is so pathetic that they would die for that. To me, it's pathetic that they don't have anything more about them that's worth dying for.
Amen.
To me, that their life is so self-centered and selfish, they've got nothing worthy to give their life for. To me, that's sad.
Amen.
That's a sad thing.
Amen.
So what was the Holy Ghost given for? It's to direct us. It's to lead us.
Amen.
It's to guide us. I remember the first time the Lord really showed me that He was leading me by His Spirit. I pulled into a medical building. I went in and I do maintenance work. I went in and did a maintenance job and I came out. And where my truck was parked, I couldn't see around the corner of the building. And there was a little set of steps there at the right around the corner of the building or just out of my sight. Sat down in my truck and I started to leave, and then the Lord said, look over. It scared me to death. I thought, did I think that? Was that, you know, I couldn't tell if it was in my ear or in my head.
Yeah.
I said, look over. And I said, Lord, is that you? And I heard it again, look over. And I looked over, looked around. I didn't see anything. And I said, I'm losing it. There's something wrong. I said, Lord, if this is you, I need to know. And He said, more emphatically, look over. So I looked, and this time I leaned way back. And I leaned back and I saw a little woman sitting on the steps beside the building at an exit door. She had her head in her hands. And she was sitting there. She looked really distraught. I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? And He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything then. So I thought, well, I've got to do something. So she looked really sad. I thought, well, I'll go ask her if I can help her, you know. And I walked out, got out of the truck, and I said, ma'am, I was walking up. She was an elderly little black woman. She was sitting there. She just looked so down. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm sorry. I hope you don't think I'm crazy. But I said, I believe the Lord sent me over here to talk to you. Are you okay?
Yeah.
And she said, well, He did send you. She said, I just had a test, and I'm waiting on the results. And she said, I don't know. She said, it could be bad. And I said, well, ma'am, do you believe the Lord will heal you? And she said, yeah. And I said, do you want me to pray for you? And she said, yeah. And I said, all right. And I ran and jumped in my truck and squealed tires out of the parking lot and started praying. And I looking back on it now, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I should have laid hands on her and prayed, but at the time, that's just where I was at. It kind of scared me to death, you know. I didn't. So I went down the road and I was praying and I was like, Lord, I know that You're a healer. Lord, I know You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I know that You can heal this woman. Lord, please, you know, let Your power come down. And I was praying and something happened and I had an experience. Now, I'm just trying to, especially the young people, I'm just trying to whet your appetite. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. Not trying to be spooky or spiritual or weird. But the Lord took me out of this world. I was in the presence of God. And I don't know how to describe it other than it was just like just floating in a cloud of pure love. And it seemed like I was there for a long time, and just when I thought I couldn't even take any more, I came back to myself, and I was driving. And I only had gone about 20 feet down the road, but it seemed like I'd been gone for several minutes. And so that experience, you know, really accelerated my desire to get even closer to God. And that's what it does. You know, he said, when you get saved, you got this little piece of God about like a button. You know, you got this little piece about like a button, and you feed it.
Amen.
And you feed it.
Right.
And you feed it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows.
Amen.
And God begins to speak to you, and He becomes more real to you. And then you can understand the difference between the Peter that denied Christ and the Peter that stood and said, I'm not worthy to be crucified upright like my Lord. Hang me upside down. You can see the difference between a Thomas who said, you're stupid, you're fools to believe that. I'll not believe that till I see it with my own eyes. Took a man with that attitude and turned him around to the point where he said, burn me, poke me with your spears, do whatever you want to, fillet me. That's one thing they said they may have done to him was fillet him, actually peel his skin off of him and just telling him to deny Christ and they would quit. And the man refused to do it. Now tell me, how is that possible without the Holy Ghost? Because without the Holy Ghost, he was sitting in a room cowering in fear. Cowering in fear. You know, there's a... there's a lot more to this Lord of ours than the world wants to give credit for. You know, he wasn't a good-looking man. We would pass him on the street and not even notice him. You know, Joan of Arc, when she went to see the Dauphin to tell him that God had given her a message, that she was going to lead France to victory over England and take back their country, he decided to play a little trick on her, and he hid in the crowd in his court and had somebody else take his place at the throne. Joan came up to him, the one on the throne. She wasn't from there. She'd never laid eyes on the Dauphin. She had no idea. She came up to him and she started to bow and she stopped. And she looked around and she started going around the room, being led by the Spirit. And she walked over to the true Dauphin, who was hiding over there in the corner, wearing like a jester's hat or something, and kneeled down before him.
Watch out. Uh-huh.
She said, I'm here to serve you.
Yeah.
God sent me. You think there's not power in the Holy Ghost? You think it's not something to be desired? You think it's not something to give your everything to? Your everything for? Let me tell you what this little ugly carpenter can do. He can move in. He can move in. He can take you over to your worst enemy, to the person who's done you the worst and treated you the worst, and he can make you love them and pray for them and forgive them.
Amen.
You know, when I was in the Baptist church and my eyes were open to this, Brother Darren Littleton introduced me to the message, and I set out to prove that this message was a cult. I thought it was like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or the Moonies or something. I thought it was some kind of a cult. I didn't think it was real. I didn't know anything about it, and I decided to study it out and figure it out. And I was leading him on with lots of questions. I was going to ensnare him. I was going to use the word to trip my brother. I was going to use the word. I was going to find the scripture that would free him from his bondage. That was my purpose in life at that time. So his mother, Sister Littleton, she gave me a little paper bag full of tapes, and I took them on vacation with me. I was sitting by a pool in Las Vegas. My wife was there on a training trip, and I got to watch the kids, and I was sitting by the pool. The kids were swimming, having a big time. Listening to Satan's Eden. My skin began to crawl. I got the most horrible feeling of dread swept over me. I thought, this may be a cult, but this guy's right. He's right. I got the kids out of the pool, got them dressed. We went down the crowded sidewalk to the Coca-Cola building where they let you drink about 50 different flavors of Coca-Cola. And there was a robot there, and we went and looked at the Batmobile and a few things like that, and we stayed out of the pool. And things began to change. By the time I got back, I was asking Brother Darren questions. He couldn't answer me. He didn't know. He wasn't gifted to be a preacher, and he was smart enough to know he didn't want to mess it up. And so he began to tell me little by little, you know, well, here's a book, you know, and he gave me The Prophet Goes to Africa. And I thought, oh, man, this guy died in the 50s. You know, what bearing does he have on today? What could he possibly have to do with today? I mean, it's great. I think it's wonderful he went around healing people. But how do I even know it was true? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Thomas was speaking. Thomas was speaking. I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen. How do I know? I mean, how do I know? So I thought, I'll keep playing along for now. I keep playing along. Listen to water baptism. And I told him, I said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? I mean, really. You know, I was baptized. I did it because the Lord said to. You know, I mean, it's not like they're saying a magic incantation. What difference does it make how you're baptized? And I asked him, I said, what difference does it make? I said, I know that I believe it's one God now. I see that. It's one God. And I believe, that, you know, the Lord Jesus is, you know, is the name. Why do I have to be rebaptized? Brother Darren goes, well, what name's higher than that? And it didn't sink in. I got in the truck and started to drive to the next job site, and Darren was right behind me. By the time we got there, I jumped out of the truck and I said, you've got to baptize me right now. I said, I want to go right now. It was during work hours. I said, let's go down to the wreck and go to the swim pool at the wreck. And he said, no. And I said, well, let's go to a creek. I said, wherever you want to go, let's just go. And he said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, you just come to the church. You just come to the church and get baptized. I was like, fine. I can do that. I was seeking the Holy Ghost. Didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. I was a lot like these guys right here. Let's see. Let's read about them real quick. In Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Yeah. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. John the Baptist. Right. Baptism of repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. These men were a little bit behind in the times. They were in the wrong dispensation. Just like I was when the Lord came for me. They were good Baptists. They were in the wrong dispensation. They were doing all they knew to do. They were still disciples of what John preached. They still believed in holiness. They still believed in doing the right thing. They still believed, you know, that the Messiah was coming. They didn't know he'd already come. Very, very similar to the time we're in. Very similar to the time we're in. People don't know that Elijah's already come on the scene. They don't know that. And anybody can say what they want. I'm kind of fed up. You know, I haven't gotten into that much, but I'm kind of fed up. They can say what they want, but tell me who else fits the pattern. Okay? If you've got something better. Okay? Who else fits the pattern? You know, I hear Brother Branham come out and he'll start to preach, and I learned something from him. He would come out and he would begin to talk to the people, and he'd say, oh, there's Brother Louis back there. Man, you know, I just love Brother Louis. The other day when I was coming to church, he just said what we were talking about in the car on the way here. And he sang that song I was humming before I even come in. And I know the Lord's already working when the song service starts. The same with the other song leaders here. I'm not picking on anybody else. I'm just saying. But, you know, he would sit there and he would talk to the people and then he would just wait for the Lord to come. He would just wait. He would just wait. Brother Branham said the keystone of the Bible. This will test you. Who knows what the keystone of the Bible is? I'm used to working with the kids. I'm not going to make you raise your hands. Hebrews 13:8. It's the stone that holds the whole thing together. The fact that he doesn't change. The same Jesus that loved us enough to come in the body of this little ugly carpenter. Somebody that you wouldn't look twice at. Somebody by our standards today would look like a homeless bum out in the street. God was willing to come down to that for us. He's willing to come down to that just to show us that he could identify. For 40 days, the devil hit him with everything that he had. For 40 days. Most of the time, we can't last 5 seconds. He knows your weakness. He knows what you've not got victory over, and he is going to hit it. And like I told the young brother here before, though, that doesn't mean that you quit seeking the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that you quit trying because you get beat a lot. Okay? You're in training. You're in training. When a boxer goes into training, the sparring partners beat him up at first. You know, you got to learn. You know, when you eat an elephant, you don't eat the whole thing at once. You eat it one bite at a time. It's the same with the Holy Ghost. You've got to accept his word. You've got to sit under his word. You've got to do what Brother Branham said. Are you forsaking the meetings? Are you, have you lost your first love? Have you got something you need to make right? You know, I grew up in a cold, dead church. Wonderful people. I love these people. They came to my dad's funeral a few weeks ago, and all these little old ladies and men and stuff that I knew from when I was just a little child that taught me Sunday school. They really gave me a foundation to build on. They gave me a lot of knowledge. Great, wonderful people. Love them with all my heart, and I don't have anything bad to say about them. But they call themselves a New Testament church, and I don't remember him ever preaching out of the book of Revelation. When I was a young boy, you know, the devil hates the book of Revelation. He hates Genesis and he hates Revelation. When I was a little bitty boy, I asked my preacher one time, I said, "Why don't you ever preach out of Revelation?" And he stuttered around, didn't know what to say. And then I said, "I heard a radio preacher saying that hell wasn't eternal." And he said, yeah, hell's eternal. I was like, "Well, he said it wasn't eternal." I don't know who the preacher was. I just heard it. I asked him. He got real nervous. You know. My dad was a deacon at the church, and when we were walking out one time when I was 6 years old, I went to shake his hand, and I shook the preacher's hand. My dad was standing there right beside me. I said, "My daddy drinks beer." My dad was not a drunk. He was not a drunk. I mean, I never saw him actually tipsy or anything like that, but I knew that was wrong. When he would boil hot dogs in beer, I wouldn't eat them. I mean, I knew that was wrong. And there was something inside of me that just was being rubbed the wrong way. It was just being rubbed the wrong way. And I couldn't figure it out, but now I thank God for that. I thank God that there was this seed in here calling out for Lot. Calling out for it, saying, "Come," you know. Jesus was an ugly little carpenter. Sometimes the truth is not pretty. Sometimes the truth is not pretty. We were going down the road the other day, and our little 2.5-year-old daughter, we've been fighting a battle for. A lot of you know about that. I'm not going to talk about it in a public venue, but we've been fighting a battle for this little girl, and she is my daughter. She is my daughter. By God's hand, she is my daughter. She looked out the window and saw somebody jogging or something. And she said, "Naked man! Naked man!" Well, James turned and he said, "No, she's not naked. He's just got his shirt off." And I thought, whoa, wait a minute, James. Wait. Hold on a minute. Sorry to embarrass you, son. But I do this to my family all the time. There's a very nervous row sitting right back there. I said, wait, son. He didn't say they'd be totally naked and not know it. Didn't say. You know, there's so many verses in Leviticus about who your nakedness belongs to that it almost gets funny. You know, don't uncover your brother-in-law's, sister-in-law's, cousin's, mother's, son's nakedness because it belongs to his wife. You know, I mean, I'm just joking, but I mean, that's how it goes. I mean, it's just like, don't uncover this, don't uncover that. You're not supposed to look at this nakedness. You're not supposed to look at the nakedness of your parents. You know, partial nakedness is nakedness. If I took my shirt off right now, I'd be half naked up here. And if I took my pants off, I'd be half naked. Okay? That nakedness is nakedness. Now, they can argue all they want to. But when God wanted to shame the people in the Old Testament, He had them bare their legs and show them. He had them bare their legs and show them. You know, and so this is, you know, the truth sometimes is hard to look at. You know, there is a ministry out there in the world in the denominations. I've seen it. I know it's there. Some of you young people have been spared from it, and you better thank God for it every day. But there is a ministry out there that doesn't tell the truth because the truth is ugly sometimes. It's not acceptable to this dark world we live in. It's just not acceptable. This world doesn't want it. They reject it. It's ugly to them. It's not pleasing to them. It turns their stomach. They don't like it. They can't take the meat. They just can't take it. They don't look at it and say, Lord, that's hard, but You said it and I believe it. I want to live up to it. I want to be molded into Your image. Instead, they mold a Jesus that matches their own image. You know, I was talking to Brother John's church. I said, they've got a Fabio for Jesus. They've got this curly blonde hair and big blue eyes. And, you know, it's this male model that's not real. Jesus was not a good looking man. And the truth, Him being the truth, Him being the Word, He was there. Jesus was the Word manifested in flesh. He was God manifested in flesh. And He chose the body of a humble, ugly little man that looked older than He was. So that teaches us a lesson. That teaches us that sometimes the truth is a little bit hard to look at. And sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes it's hard to stand for it when everybody's saying, ooh, it's ugly, it's ugly. How many of you girls, if you fell in love with a young man and you went around your friends with this young man and you said, what do you think about him? And everybody went, oh my goodness, he is so ugly. Ooh, what are you doing with him? You're so much better than that. You're really too pretty to be with him. What are you thinking? What would that do to you? What would that do to your self-esteem? How would you feel about it? Would you say, I don't care if he's ugly or not? See, that's the spot we find ourselves in. You go to the denominations, and the preachers there will actually go through the Bible like it's a buffet. They'll pick out, and I've been there. I'm not just saying this because I've heard other preachers say it. This is the truth. They'll go through the Bible like it's a buffet. They'll pick out all the desserts, all the candy, all the soda pop, and they'll give it to you. You know, that's what they want to feed you. That's all they want to feed you. And it's very acceptable. I mean, who doesn't like a good hot fudge sundae? You know, everybody's going to like that. One time when I was a kid, we went on a trip and they had a soda pop machine there, and I can't remember what it was, maybe a dime or a nickel. They had it real cheap. It was at this place, and I tried a Dr. Pepper because that's all they had. Oh man, I thought it was the nectar of the gods. I thought it was just wonderful. I thought, Dr. Pepper, this is my newfound love, you know. I was drinking four or five of them a day. My parents didn't know it. They didn't realize. I wasn't drinking any water. I was just drinking Dr. Pepper after Dr. Pepper as fast as I could get them. Dad would lay some change down and it would disappear. And, you know, when we got ready to go back, I got four or five of them and I put them in a cooler, and I was sitting there going down the road drinking these things one right after another. And all of a sudden, everything started getting kind of fuzzy, and everything started getting kind of, you know, feeling kind of weird and kind of starting to spin, and my back started hurting, and I was like, oh no, I'm about to get sick. And so I said, Dad, I'm about to get sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. He pulled over real quick, you know. We were in his new Cougar, and he didn't want me getting sick in there. So we get out, and I walk around for about 30 minutes, and I'm still feeling terrible. And they're like, well, we got to get down the road. And I was so sick. I just drunk too much Dr. Pepper, and I got so sick. And I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
And I just was walking around, and finally they got, you know, we started going down the road, and we had to stop a couple more times, and then finally I went to sleep and slept it off. And it was several years before I could even look at a Dr. Pepper again. Well, that's exactly how I was burnt in the denominations.
Amen.
They feed you candy and dessert and sweets, and they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you get weak. If that's all you eat, you get weak.
Right.
Your body stops working right. It, you know, things start going wrong. You know, you get sluggish. You get to where you're inactive. You get to where, you know, the disease starts to set in. And there's no way for your body to get the nutrients to fight it off, because all you're getting is junk and garbage. And eventually the people in these type of churches start vomiting out the same old stuff that they're hearing, because it's all they know. And the tables are full of vomit. Take my word for it. It's the truth. The tables are full of vomit. People can tell you this message is too hard. They can tell you that God doesn't require what His word says He requires. They can tell you anything they want to tell you. What they're not telling you is, hey, guess what? I've not got the Holy Ghost, and I don't care anymore. I just want to do what I want to do. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm tired of being told what to do. There's nothing in me that agrees with what I'm hearing. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was that little carpenter who came and died on the cross for us. The Word is that thing inside of you that's calling out and saying, I want more. I'm hungry. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if it... I want it to change me. I want it to make me into what God wants me to be. You know, Constantine saw the power of God. He did. He saw the power of God. He saw those Christians dying. He saw them dying for what they believed. And he said, give me soldiers that'll do that. And he told them, hey, everybody, I had a vision. This is a sign we're supposed to fight under now, the cross. And they set up a little 325 meeting. And Constantine, he didn't want them to look at Jesus anymore. He wanted to give them another man to look at. He had to get a religious political system going so that he could control it. Because if he could control the Christians and get everybody under that, then he had warriors that were unstoppable. He was a smart man. He had to be smart to see this. So, there's one problem. There's this guy in the way. His name's Jesus. We need to keep him on the cross. We need to keep him dead. And we need to get the orders from a man, you know, that I put in charge here. And we'll tie it into all the religious stuff. We'll tie it into the... You know, we'll make everybody happy. We'll make sure that everybody gets their religion, you know, and gets their holidays that they like. We'll just change some of the names a little bit. We'll make sure everybody, you know, believes the same thing, and we will have an undefeatable army. Well, he was wrong, because the army was already defeated before it ever started. Now, the Pope's going over to the Holy of Holies this weekend. Now, we're in the same time frame, the same type of thing that John the Baptist was in. The pressure of that time and the coming Messiah, it's the same thing that's going on right now. We're seeing the culmination of all things. We're seeing the end of everything. And we're seeing our hero getting ready to step out. We're getting ready to see the sky roll back like a scroll. We're getting ready to see the truth step out and reclaim his bride. That's where we're at. They can take their politics, they can take their religion, and they can have it. They can have it. And they've learned before that they can't kill us militarily and get away with it. We don't care. So now they're trying to kill us politically. Well, let's try, if a left don't work, let's try a right. You know, if a right don't work, let's try a left. That's the mentality that's going today. But when, next time they take a swing, there's not going to be anybody here to swing it. I'm sorry about the people that have left. I'm sorry about the ones that aren't here. I'm not making fun of them. I love them. I love them. And if a man's deceived, he doesn't know it. That's the bad thing about deception. If a man's deceived, he doesn't know it. I've got something to check myself by. I can go from cover to cover. I can go from Genesis to Revelation, and I can see if I'm deceived or not. I can see if what I believe is the truth or not. Yeah. I don't have to go with traditions. Right. I don't have to go with a buffet table full of hot fudge sundaes.
Right. Yeah.
God has pressurized us.
Amen.
We were made for this time.
Amen.
Nothing is going to put fear on us with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And nothing is going to put doubt on us. Because we know in whom we believe. And I'm looking for him. And I'm not making demands of what he's got to be. I'm listening for what his demands are. I want to come into focus with what his demands are. To be led of the Spirit. You know, when Jesus looked at those men, he said, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent ye, him ye believe not." It was true then and it's true now.
Amen.
Now if you're honest with yourself, you know where you stand tonight. There's no maybe, there's no hope. There's either yes or no. Now you know what your desire is. If you're honest with yourself, you really know what your desire is. The prodigal son knew what his desire was.
Yeah.
He had no doubt about it.
Amen.
He just had to get old enough and brave enough to tell Daddy.
Right.
Oh. I'm done with this.
Right.
Tired of your way. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your brother. Yeah.
Out of here. There was still grace for him, though. And unlike the older brother, we're not condemning him. We're inviting him back. Come back before it's too late. Come back. The problem is, Esau sought repentance with tears. And he didn't find it. Repentance is of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Ghost to draw you. It takes the conviction of the word to start working on your heart. It takes the acceptance of the word to lead you to this altar to repent. That's what it takes. It takes hard preaching from real men of God. Men of God who aren't afraid to tell you the truth. It takes real preaching from real men of God. We are so fortunate in this hour. We are so blessed. That's the one thing that I want you young people to know more than anything else. I have sat at the tables of vomit. I've sat at the cold, formal, political, religious system tables. And it left me empty. It left me dying. It left me weak. It left me sick. I've heard the preachers who try to buy the Holy Ghost like the sorcerer Simon, who go on the internet and get subscriptions for their sermon outlines and preach them. I've caught them at it red-handed. And when I brought it to the people, you would think that they would say, "Hey, let's get them out of there and let's get a real man of God." But no, they want it. They're like little fat spoiled children that want their candy. "I'm not eating my green beans, Daddy. Give me my cake. Give me my cake. Give me my pudding. Give me my jelly beans. I don't want no cauliflower. I don't want no beef. But an eagle can't sit there like that.
No.
You give an eagle a choice between fresh meat and a piece of birthday cake, he's going to take the fresh meat. I'm going to close now if the musicians would like to come. And I'll close with this. Our God loves us beyond any measure, any understanding that we can possibly grasp. He loves us. He's watched me since I was, he knew me before I was ever born. When I was a thought in the back of his mind, he saw this day. He knew what was going to be said here. He knew who'd accept it, who'd reject it. He knew who'd be watching on the internet. He knew everything about what's going to happen today. He knew that I had a grandmother. This is a little testimony. He knew that I had a grandmother who taught me to love the truth. A woman who taught me that the scripture was the most important thing.
Amen.
Now, in her understanding, when she caught a preacher off the word, she would go tell him about it. She'd correct him. She didn't know how to do it tactfully. She'd just hit him square in the face with it. She's the kind of woman you never lied to. I lied to her one time. One time. I thought that all of hell was coming down on my shoulders when I lied to her. She beat the lie out of me. She taught me what real love was. And she taught me to love the truth. When I got introduced to this message, she was entering into the beginnings of dementia. And I gave her the Seven Church Ages book, and I told her, I said, Granny, I said, read this. When I talked to her, when I would sit and talk with her, she would enter right into what I was saying. When we talked about spiritual things, she didn't miss a beat. She could quote passage after passage after passage of Scripture. She could go on and on and on. Completely and totally normal, every conversation that I had with her up until she died. She never once got off. Anybody else talked to her, she'd ask them what time it was every 2 or 3 seconds. She'd ask them, what are we having for lunch? Just every couple of minutes. They said, you just ate lunch. Oh, okay. She didn't know anything. I'd given her that book, but I thought it was too late. And I thought, maybe she was in the overlap. Maybe somehow, It always bothered me. We'd sing that song and, we'd see the song about, what will it be when we get over yonder? Who's going to be waiting on us? And those kind of things. And I would think about her and it would hurt. I'd feel pain. Well, when she passed away, everybody went to her house, her children, my mom and everybody went and they got different things and took them home. My mom had gotten the Seven Church Ages book and she brought it home and I didn't know it. And she found it when she was going through some things after Dad passed away here recently. And my grandmother had taken that Seven Church Ages book, and she'd gone through it and made notes. And she wrote down scriptures, and it was all positive.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, I'm not here to give you false hope, but I'm here to tell you one thing. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust Him. If you think you can't do it, if you think that this Holy Ghost thing is weird and strange and you don't understand what it is, you're not sure if you've got it or not, you're not sure what your desires are, you think I'm turning 18 soon and, I don't know what I'll do. I think I'm going to go off to school and get away from this place, do what I want to do, not have to be under the confines of this ugly word.
Yeah.
You may be thinking that way, but I'm here to tell you there is a difference. There is a difference when you get the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And you should seek it with all your heart.
Amen.
You should never, ever, ever give up.
Yes.
You should believe with all your heart that God loves you enough to give it to you if that's your desire. Because Brother Branham said that's how you know, is by your desire. Do you think God would let that desire be there if He wasn't going to quench it?
Yes.
Do you think He'd give you a thirst? Do you think it's the devil that's giving you that thirst? No! The devil's not going to give you a thirst for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you've got a thirst for it, come and get it.
Amen.
Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's to the believer. That's to the one that has that seed that's crying out for light. That's the light that will burst that seed open and get that wheat to growing. I've got to stop y'all from pulling my guts out. I want you all to know I love you dearly. Absolutely dearly with all my heart. A lot of you may not hear from me, but when I hear the prayer requests, I take them seriously. I pray for you. We may not have even had a real good conversation, but I know your face. And I've prayed for you. And one day, we're going to know as we are known. We're going to all be together in that place. The body of Christ is getting ready to go to the wedding supper. And trust me, it's not going to be nothing but dessert. I love you all. God bless you. I'm not a singer. I'm going to let Brother Harry do that. That's his gift. But the altar is open. There's men of God here who will come and lay hands on you. If you want the Holy Ghost, that desire should tell you that you can have it. And you should come up here and you should get it. God bless you.
Can you stand and worship just a little bit before we go?
I know my Redeemer. Redeemer live. Let all creation testify. Let His life within me cry. I know my Redeemer live. I know my Redeemer. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Jesus lives. that Jesus, He lives. Let all creation testify. Let His life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. I know who lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Well, I'm feeling just like singing since I laid my burdens down. Oh, yes, I'm feeling just like singing since I laid my head. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my heavy burden down. It's glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. I feel like shouting, just like shouting, since I laid my burdens down. I feel like shouting, just like shouting, since I laid my burden down. I feel like praising, praising Him. Oh, I feel like praising, praising Him. I want to praise Him in the morning, praise Him. Well, if you don't praise the Lord, you won't hinder me. Oh, if you don't praise the Lord, you won't hinder me. I want to praise Him in the morning and praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising, praising Him. Like praise. won't you praise the Lord while you have His chance?
Father, we praise your name. Lord, when you work on hearts, there's nothing more precious than that. There's nothing more precious than when your word goes out. And we don't just have to believe that it won't return void, but we see it returning, Lord. We see the results of your living word. We see the results of your Holy Ghost working on the hearts of the believers, Lord. We thank you and praise your name for it, Lord. Lord, I just ask that as we leave here tonight, that we leave and we don't forget what you've told us. What you've told us our whole life from the time we were little children as you called us out. That we ponder these things. That we remember these things. That as we see your Spirit being poured out on all flesh now, Lord. And as we see the culmination of the end times, Lord. As we see the prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes, Lord. We ask you to give us the strength to keep our minds on you, to keep our hearts turned towards you, to be prayerful, Lord, and to lean on you every day.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the safety you give us and the revelation most of all, Lord, that you give us. We thank you. And Lord, we just depend on you to bring us back again together safely if we don't leave here first. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Go in the fear of the Lord. And thank you for the grace you've given me tonight. You have no idea how nervous I was, and I thought, you know, I've been battling blood pressure and had these troubles, and you all prayed for me and got me through, and then I thought Brother Donnie really wanted to make sure that the testimony was true when he called me. But you've pulled me through again. You've pulled me through again. This body is something else, I tell you. I love you all. God bless you.
God bless you.
Go in the fear of the Lord.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give Him my all. He speaks to me, and I and take control. The pool. I feel the pool. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit. It's moving me to give. Speak.